during childhood, a lot of kids are facing obesity.
Yes, childhood obesity is a big problem these days. Mm. And the lack of physical exercise is the primary cause, along with dietary changes. So, of course, dietary changes is something that we need to look into, very deep delve into.
I'm also curious to know about hydrotherapy.
So, there is a factor called buoyancy. That means it reduces in water, the strain on the joints is reduced. Person can perform these exercises with much ease underwater.
So how has technology impacted physiotherapy? What are the emerging trends?
Now with augmented reality and virtual reality, it is more of an immersive experience in rehabilitation. So that really helps.
Welcome to Empyrea Connects. Today, we'll explore the crucial role of physiotherapy in family well-being. We'll share practical tips for all ages, discuss injury prevention and recovery, and highlight on the benefits of insurance. We have Dr. Divya Putran, a physiotherapy expert, who is also a medical consultant for leading insurance company. Welcome to our podcast, Dr. Divya. We are delighted to have you on our show.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
So Dr. Divya, can you tell us how physiotherapy differs from other medical treatment and therapies?
So one of the things that distinguishes physiotherapy from other forms of treatment is that though physiotherapy may or may not add years to your life, but what it does is it adds life to your years. So by this, what I mean is we focus on functional independence. We focus on improving the quality of life of the individual through exercise therapy and various other modalities.
Can you let us know how physiotherapy has evolved and developed over the years?
So physiotherapy has always been around. We have the mentions of it in ancient civilizations and the mentions of it being practiced. But one of the key landmarks where it stood out was during the polio epidemics and the world wars. So both the World War I and the World War II. So what happened during these periods is that there were a lot of injured soldiers, and the medical practitioners and doctors and surgeons during that time, their plate was full with all of those new technologies, new drugs coming in, and there was a lot of research-based practice that had to be done. And what they realized is a lot of these injured soldiers had to come back to workforce. They were either losing limbs or had like long-standing injuries. So that is when the need of rehabilitation really stood out, and the practitioners realized that we need experts who are specialized in rehabilitation per se and who can really help, you know, get this workforce back. So that is when physiotherapy really emerged and stood out. Also, this was at that time considered a noble cause, you know, treating these noble men. And when it was during the 1950s to 1960s, when physiotherapy education, formal education actually started. And in the late 1990s, when the evidence-based practice has begun, and we have come a long way from there. Right now, there is a lot of role of technology in physiotherapy as well. And also we have various branches of physiotherapy that people specialize in. So it's neurophysiotherapy, there is musculoskeletal or orthopedic physiotherapy, there is neonatal physiotherapy, that is for, and pediatrics for young children. There is physiotherapy for women's health, prenatal and postnatal health. And there is also physiotherapy for geriatric population and cardiopulmonary rehabilitation. So all of these fields have emerged over the years. And these specialties allow the practitioners to give specialized treatment to those particular patients.
Can you let us know what are the common myths about physiotherapy?
So one of the common misconceptions that people have when they usually visit a physiotherapist is that it can be passively done, and you know, there will be some electrotherapy or some kind of treatment done to them and they will walk out pain-free or they will recover completely. But that's far from the truth. So physiotherapy doesn't work unless the patient is willing to work. It is a very active treatment process, active engagement and active involvement of the patient in a way that a lot of exercises which seemingly might seem like they are very easy to the eye, actually they are, there's a lot of science involved behind every exercise. So these have to be performed on long term, on a daily basis, for to actually see the results and to sustain the results over a long period of time. It does take time, but the results will be here to stay. They are not a quick fix, and it does require a lot of effort from the patient's end as well.
Is it that once you start physiotherapy, you have to go forever?
Not at all. So it does not imply that. But what we need to understand is every patient's recovery will be different. It will also depend a lot on their, so before their medical event, what was their fitness level before that? And a lot of other factors also. Patients need to do is they need to communicate clearly with their practitioner, and they need to set their expectations straight. What are their expectations from therapy? How long it will take? What is the cost involved in this? And when there is clarity at both ends, then the results will be even more significant, and both parties will know that they are on the same page.
So do you need any referral, or you can have a direct access to it?
Not at all, yeah. So you can go to a physiotherapy with this particular specialization of what you are looking at directly. You may or may not require a referral. So even if you've gone through a referral, it's fine, but you can always walk in as well.
Okay. So a lot of young people complain nowadays that they have neck pain, knee pain, back pain. Why is it so?
So basically there are a lot of reasons that could be the contributing factor. There could be a sports related injury or any injury that happens during, you know, during the day. The cause could be that there is some mechanical wear and tear that's happening on a regular basis, postural issues, some gait issues, that means the way that the individual is walking is not right, or they need some external support for it. One of the most important things is to be active. That could be one of the contributing factors that helps in these cases. Also, aging can be one of the issues. So as you grow older, the wear and tear of the joints increases. You lose muscle mass. So these can be some of the reasons why this is happening. But it will require closer observation and treatment, diagnosis in a physiotherapy clinic to understand the nature of the injury or why it is happening.
Can you let us know what is an ideal bed? Like a lot of people suggest, you should be sleeping on foam beds.
Yeah.
So what's your suggestion on this?
So foam bed can be okay. Usually when you're opting for a mattress, do not opt for a mattress that is too soft, that is giving in too much, or it is too hard. So a medium firmness would be ideal, in which your spine curvature is maintained. Okay, you may or may not use pillows. You may, if you are using pillows, don't use a very higher, like, you know, very big one, so that the neck curvature is maintained. And one of the other things that, so back sleeping is also fine, or you can sleep on the sides. But if you have back pain, then you'd rather sleep on the side, keep your knees well supported. So these kind of things can help. Also, when you're lifting heavy weights, try to lift from your knees and not from your back. So don't bend forward directly. Try to squat from your knees downwards. Put that weight closer to your body and then lift it. Otherwise, it puts a direct mechanical strain on your back. Another thing that when you're getting up from the bed, don't get up straight. Go on one side, roll over to one side, put some support on your hands and then get up. Especially when older age, this is what we should ask them to do, because that reduces the direct mechanical strain on the back.
This is a valuable information for our audience. Online, a lot of people are experiencing cupping therapy. Can you tell us more about this?
So, cupping therapy is a form of suction that is placed on the skin. It could be either a silicone cup or a glass cup that is placed. And this suction actually increases blood flow to the area, reduces muscle tension, and overall also reduces the pain and enhances athletic performance. So, in a nutshell, it really is known to enhance performance and reduce pain in a lot of cases.
Can you tell us how cryotherapy can be performed at home or experienced in clinics?
So cryotherapy essentially means the ice application or using ice or cold as a means of therapy. So what happens in this is whenever we are having an acute injury, an acute sprain or strain which has happened in a short period of span, that is when we usually recommend cryotherapy. So instant icing of that area is really helpful, and it is known to reduce inflammation, reduce swelling, and it reduces further complications also. So what you can do at home easily is that whenever you have a sprain or a strain or an active, you know, muscle spasm, you immediately apply a ice pack and apply it like for 10 to 15 minutes easily and then put it back. So even if you repeat it 3 to 4 times a day, you will see significant improvement in the symptoms, reduction in swelling and all of those benefits that I just mentioned.
I'm also curious to know about hydrotherapy.
So hydrotherapy or aquatherapy is the practice of physiotherapy in water. So what water does is, so there is a factor called buoyancy. That means it reduces in water, the strain on the joints is reduced. Person can perform these exercises with much ease underwater. So what happens is this reduces the muscle tension, gives them more confidence to perform. There is also proprioceptive input. There also causes relaxation. So there are a lot of benefits of practicing aquatherapy. It's done in a lot of neurological conditions, also in sports rehabilitation, which enables the patients. Also the chances of falls in water is much lesser. So there are a lot of benefits of aquatherapy, and that is why it is widely practiced and it's getting more and more recognized these days.
Oh, okay. So what is dry needling?
So dry needling is like a trigger point therapy in which these dry needles are placed in the muscle. So the depth and you know, location will be determined by your therapist, and the applications are like plenty. What they essentially do is it causes like micro trauma in which it enhances healing, improves blood flow in the area, and eventually it also reduces the pain over a period of time. So if you would see, even on Instagram, we can see a lot of athletes practicing dry needling on a regular basis. So it is known to improve the performance of the athlete and also enhances recovery after you know, a lot of strain or on the muscles.
So doctor, what do you feel like people can you know, follow the principles of physiotherapy in their daily lifestyle?
So there are a lot of things that one can practice, like looking for an active lifestyle. So one of the biggest debates that people have is strength training versus cardio. So what people usually think that either one of it is better. So we'll only do cardio or we'll only do strength training. Whereas the fact is that both of them are equally beneficial and both of them are equally important for you. So let me put it this way. The benefits of strength training is that it improves muscle mass, it like improves bone density. So overall, in terms of aging in the long term, it is very beneficial for an individual. Whereas cardio exercises or aerobic exercises like swimming, dancing, or like Zumba, what usually people do, all of these are aerobic exercises like cycling and all of that. They are important to build the cardiopulmonary endurance. So endurance is like sustaining an activity for a prolonged period of time. So that is where cardio activity comes into play. They improve the vital capacity. So both are doing different things. They are obviously, they will aid in you know, overall well-being of an individual and making him stronger, and also in weight management, that both of them will help in eventually. But what essentially is required is a blend of both these. So try to make your fitness regime in a way that you include both of these. So don't forget strength training. Do not, even in older individuals, it is very important to include strength training.
Correct. So doctor, nowadays we see a lot of people are spending time on their mobile screen. So can you explain us the term text neck?
So text neck is a condition which is which occurs due to the chronic mechanical strain on the neck. So you see, every 15 degrees that we're tilting our head forwards, it is adding more and more mechanical strain on the or in the cervical spine. So what happens is degenerative changes start occurring much earlier in these individuals. We need to be very vigilant of this. We need to do ergonomic changes around it, try to minimize the usage, but that if that is not possible, try to hold the mobile phone in an upright position, try to maintain your spine, your neck in a neutral position. That is very important. And also take, especially when kids, they are not very aware of all of these things, so make sure that kids are in a proper position whenever they are getting their screen time. And it is important for everyone, take frequent breaks, try to do cervical stretches. There is a basic exercise like pushing your chin backwards, that really helps strengthen the intrinsic muscles of your cervical spine. So these kind of things really help avoiding the long-term complications. If someone develops cervical spondylosis, so it's very common in younger age as well, then it radiates through to your hands, and the same pain radiates through your hands and other things. So before it gets complicated, try to do these preventive measures, and that will really save you a lot of time and effort.
Completely agree to this. Can you explain us ergonomics in physiotherapy?
So ergonomics essentially means optimizing your surroundings while doing any activity. So which in return optimizes your performance in that surroundings. So it usually people think that ergonomics is only restricted to workplace ergonomics, wherein like you're adjusting your workplace
body
according to to optimize your posture so that you don't cause mechanical strain for a longer period of time. But it's not only limited to that. If a sportsman is performing in his domain, he also has to follow certain ergonomic practices. So for a student, there are different ergonomic practices. So it is applicable for everyone, but what is the essential core of it is to optimize your performance and minimize the strain caused due to a faulty posture. So that is what it is.
So I could see a lot of corporates are also focusing on this ergonomics.
Yes, it is, especially corporates have this focus that they want to reduce the absenteeism from work. So what happens is if there is the workplace ergonomics are wrong, so then the employees tend to take prolonged leaves because some of the other kind of pain and mechanical strain that is caused to them, which is going to be a chronic problem. So for that, there are adjustable workstations. There is so the ergonomic chair, a typical one would have a good backrest, back support, neck adjustments. So even the elbow has to be at an angle, so the shoulder has to be relaxed. The use of mouse pads really helps in the carpal tunnel. And the other things, like whenever you're looking at your work, so your neck should be in a neutral position. Your eyes should be looking downwards to your monitor. You adjust your monitor in such a way that you're not looking upwards, because when you look upwards, your eyes tend to get dry much sooner. So what you can do is look downwards at your monitor at an angle, cervical spine in a neutral position. Look downwards and take frequent breaks. Trying to look at a faraway object really helps. Every 15 to 20 minutes, try to take a break. You can do simple ankle movement exercises. Take a walk around the office, and you know, you can also adjust your daily schedule in such a way that you alternate tasks. So if you're sitting in a place for like 20 minutes or so, then probably you can take a call in which you can be more active, walk around the office while taking the call, and something like that. So basic small changes in your everyday practice can really help you avoid these, you know, long-term problems.
This is a very valuable information for people who have desk job. Can you share some tips for the parents that they can encourage their children to have some physical activities? Because nowadays we see, like, during childhood, a lot of kids are facing obesity.
Yes, childhood obesity is a big problem these days. And the lack of physical exercise is the primary cause, along with dietary changes. So, of course, dietary changes is something that we need to look into, very deep delve into. In terms of lifestyle changes, look, especially I feel for kids, we cannot like prescribe something to them without practicing it ourselves. So kids really mimic the behavior of their parents and the surroundings. So if we kind of inculcate then family, you know, activity on the weekends or even every day, making sure that they get at least good amount of physical play time, it is really important for them at their developing ages to let out that went up energy. They really need to run around, they need to jump around. That is very important. Outdoor play is very important for kids at this stage. It helps in their growth and their overall development. And in terms of curbing screen time, that is like there have been numerous studies and everyone is already aware of how many, you know, what are the repercussions of excessive screen time for kids. There is no replacement for physical, you know, one-on-one play for kids. There is no replacement for human connections. So what parents can do is inculcate. So these days parents are also very busy with their workplace and there is a lot of challenges. So instead of resorting to screen time, we can actively engage the kids even in household activities, household chores. Even that can be very helpful because we are engaging the child, we are making him feel valued and responsible, we are making them more independent. So there is no harm in, you know, adopting such practices. It also gives them a boost and enhances their self-worth, so that way they can stay engaged, stay creative, and even, you know, be more active in and around the house.
So how can parents identify that their children need physiotherapy treatment?
So one of the important things that parents need to observe is their developmental milestones of their child. So the milestone development has to be timely. The kid has to roll at a certain time, make eye contact, social milestones, motor milestones. All of these have to be achieved in a timely manner. If there are any deviations that are concerning, please get in touch with your pediatric or a physiotherapist. Also, there are a lot of therapies. If there is any genetic disorder or any kind of malformation during birth or like any kind of gait disorders, the earlier intervention and earlier diagnosis really helps you along in the long term. So the recovery rate in early intervention is much higher than someone who is brought in at a later stage, because then it gets more painful and more difficult to reverse that. So this is what really helps, early intervention. If you notice any changes in the child's behavior or anything, or any medical, other medical event which may have caused his milestones to, you know, any chest infection or any kind of other infection that the child has gone through, after which you look and you have observed certain changes in the child's behavior, then please get it into practitioner's note.
Also, are there any specific physiotherapy practices that are, you know, beneficial to the expectant mothers?
So yes, expectant mothers, there is a whole branch of physiotherapy that deals with women's health. What they essentially do is prenatal care and postnatal care. It means that when the expectant mother is like a pregnant woman, usually due to the hormones, or like her ligaments are really lax. That means she's prone to injuries. Also, her spine curvature increases because of the weight that she's put on, and you know, the center of gravity actually moves when a woman is pregnant. So what essentially happens is she usually complains of a lot of swelling, pain. So there is an entire protocol that deals with such women and what they have to follow, how to be active, what are the safe practices, what are the different exercises they can follow, and that really helps even during childbirth. So there is Kegels exercises that is recommended for expectant mothers, and which helps even during the childbirth, like during the natural childbirth, and also post that to prevent urinary incontinence, other issues related to breastfeeding. All of these are addressed in women's health physiotherapy.
So we all have elderly family member. So what are your tips for their lifestyle improvement?
Okay, so one of the most important things that happens as we age is that we start losing muscle mass, and the bone starts degenerating. The ligaments become lax, and the cushioning between your joints actually reduces, which causes more friction, more stiffness, and more pain. So essentially, your bone mineral density tends to peak in your late 20s to early 30s. Post that, every year it reduces by 0.5 to 1% because of various factors. Now it tends to increase more if you are if you have a more sedentary lifestyle and you don't have an active lifestyle. Plus, in women especially, during menopause and postmenopause, it actually reduces at a much faster rate compared to men. So now you can understand how our bones are becoming weaker by the day or by as we age. So for this, to maintain bone mineral density, it is important, of course, in nutritional factors we have to take care of. And the other aspect is strength training and a lot of exercises, a lot of of, you know, staying active and healthy. These kind of play a very important role. Otherwise, in the older age, you tend to have more, you know, you're more susceptible to having fractures or easy fractures and injuries, which in older age, again, limits their mobility and could be a factor due to which they are, you know, confined to the bed. Some sort of balance training, adding balance training to them, you know, try encouraging to keep them active. So even if they join some social groups in which they look forward to, you know, venturing out every now and then, that is when they really, you know, maintain that lifestyle. And trust me, I think in India, I mean, people tend to adopt a more less active lifestyle much early on. In the West, people are, even at the older age, they are very active, they are very outgoing, and this is encouraged. There is no taboo around it. So I think that kind of thing has to be encouraged.
Preventive measures can really help the elderly group agree to it.
Yeah.
What role does physiotherapy play in injury prevention?
Okay, so for injury prevention, one has to follow the basic principles, like your warm-up, your cool-down are essentially important. Stretching, never to skip these. Strength training of your core muscles as well as the functional muscles. So whatever activity you're doing, those muscles, set of muscles which are involved, functional training and strengthening of those muscles is very important. Other things are like working on your flexibility, your balance training, and, you know, foam rolling to reduce spasms. Always, always remember to take adequate rest for the body to recover. Hydration plays a very key role to prevent injuries, because what happens is your synovial fluid between your joints. So the dehydration causes to reduce. So this increases friction and increases the chances of getting an injury. So hydration and proper nutrition becomes very important.
So now that everyone's talking about mental health, what is the correlation between mental health and exercise?
So there is absolutely no debate that there is positive impact on mental health with exercise. So that is not debatable at all. The only thing that one of the studies that stood out for me was a Lancet study was conducted approximately 1.2 million Americans across a span of 4 years. And what they observed is the ideal period for exercise is approximately 45 minutes on an average basis of 3 to 5 days per week. And any form of exercise is good, whatever suits you, any form of exercise is okay. And it has thought to have a significant impact in improving mental health of all the participants. Now, one interesting observation in this study was anything more than 90 minutes or more than 23 days per month was significantly having a negative impact on the mental health. What this means is that moderation is the key. Do not overdo it, do not stretch yourself or give yourself that period of recovery. And I think overall approach health or approach exercise with a positive mind frame. Do not be in any rat race to get into any shape or all of those things, but you know, approach health with a positive mindset and also a long-term goal, not a short-term goal.
So how has technology impacted physiotherapy? What are the emerging trends currently?
Okay, so post-COVID, telemedicine has really caught up. So teleconsultations for physiotherapy has become really prominent. Telerehabilitation is being undertaken through videos. Now with augmented reality and virtual reality, it is more of an immersive experience in rehabilitation. So that really helps. A lot of biofeedback mechanisms help in posture correction and giving real-time feedback on, you know, during rehabilitation. So all of these technological advancements have really helped physiotherapy go long and far.
So doctor, as you've been medical consultant for a lot of leading insurance companies, so can you let us know whether physiotherapy is covered in medical insurance?
This can be subjective to either if there is an IPD charge, that means once the patient is admitted and he is taking physiotherapy, that may or may not be covered. You will have to check the fine lines, fine prints of your policy to see if it is included or not. Most of the times it would be included. But if you're taking it on the OPD basis, most of the plans do not cover it. That means if you're an outpatient and you're going for treatment, most of the times it will not be covered. Though there are some policies which offer this kind of coverage, but they have a capping on the number of days or the amount that can be, you know, even for home-based physiotherapy services, there is an amount or a capping that can be added, an extra value or an extra cost. So that is very subjective to each and every plan, but you can talk to your insurance provider if you need those additional, you know, requirements.
So what are the future emerging trends in medical insurance right now?
So one of the important trends that has caught up is the, you know, there are products in which there is a discount in the premium if the client is maintaining a good health. So if their health parameters are improving, if they're active and exercising, there is a way of the company, you know, measures these parameters through apps and through technology, which are most of the times mobile built apps. And once these health parameters improve, they can offer a discounted premium in the year-on-year premiums that the client is paying.
This will really motivate people to take care of their health.
Yeah, absolutely. So people will want to live longer, live healthier, and, you know, avoid all the morbidities that occur with health complications.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your expertise today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for watching the entire episode. We hope you gain important insights to keep your family healthy by our valuable tips and knowledge about physiotherapy and insurance. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. We would love to hear your feedback. Join us again in our next episode where we'll explore new and exciting topics. Until then, take care of yourself and your loved ones. Stay active, stay healthy, and keep listening to Imperia Connects.